Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything that we think we know about food. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a food science writer, TV presenter, and gastronaut. This episode is part of a short series shining a light on some of the startups who are shaping the future of the food industry. 2023 looks set to be another challenging year, and rising to those challenges is going to require innovation and new thinking about how the global food industry feeds a growing population. With that in mind, I'm delighted to introduce the alternative protein company Enough.
Hi, I am Jim Laird. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Enough. I've worked in the food industry for 30 years, and this has included supply chain roles running frozen beef and chicken factories in the early 90s, managing the Quorn brand internationally in the late noughties, and also roles in fresh produce. To introduce Enough, we grow abundant microprotein as a whole biomass because we think it is the most sustainable way to grow protein. And our route to market as Enough is as a B2B ingredient, and we support this with product application capabilities. And based on that work, we've been able to prove the ability to make some really delicious foods, both as meat and as fish alternatives. We choose to be B2B partly because this presents a much larger opportunity than focusing on a single category, but also because this lets us work collaboratively with customers to help make some great tasting food. And that concept of collaboration is something which, for Enough, we enjoy. And without that belief in collaboration, we'd be several years further back in terms of progress. And we've got some great examples of collaboration in our supply chain strategy, in our product strategy, and most importantly, in our commercial strategy. For Enough, our competition is with protein, both from animal sources or from plants. And relative to both, we have a wide range of advantages. We use a whole biomass from a fermentation process with no waste, and with incredible efficiencies in production, from a single fermenter, we will grow almost 1.5 tons of protein every hour. And this grows protein using fewer resources than any other option. I think there's some very obvious examples about how animal farming produces non-value-adding components, but also with plant proteins, both pea and soya have byproducts that are not readily used in our everyday veggie burger. So the real killer metric that differentiates Abunda from any of the other protein options is there's a feed conversion ratio. And across any of the metrics of land use, water use, or feed input, we achieve greater efficiency. An additional differentiator is that Abunda is naturally high in fiber. As mycelium grow, they produce both protein and fiber. And that presence of fiber is a real differentiator nutritionally. Most of the Western world population have plenty of protein in the diets, but I think we know that nutritionally, we're all deficient to some degree in terms of fiber. And animal sources of protein contain no fiber, and so if we compare abundance to plant protein, the existence of that fiber means we don't need that complex processing such as high moisture extrusion, because the fiber creates that natural structure. Maybe to the question of what makes Enough different, I think our ultimate strength or success relies on a very capable team. The team are diverse, with 18 nationalities represented across a team of 55. And we're all shareholders in the company, sharing a common purpose, and certainly with a lot of shared commitment and shared passion. Enough has been in existence for 7 years. And in that time, we've seen war, global pandemics, global supply chain challenges. But we've also had an absolute blast and have built a team who are extremely capable and who are excited about the opportunity of making protein sustainable and about doing something which is collectively bigger and more important than us. We're supported by some excellent investors, and amongst those, I often fall back on a phrase from Jeremy Collar, who told me to never let a good crisis go to waste. And so building on crises such as the impact of COVID, we've adapted our business model and changed our collaboration partners. And a real highlight has included the ability of the team to agree some really large-scale collaborations with very large, strong partners. One highlight is that Enough successfully led a flagship application under the EU's Bio-Based Industries Joint Undertaking called Project Plenitude. And within that project, we're privileged to work closely with some very large organisations such as IFF, ABP, Cargill, and Wageningen University. And that principle of collaboration is something we genuinely love, and it's part of our DNA. If I look at what are highlights in our journey, two very special highlights are from the last year, where in September last year, we broke ground on our first facility. And then exactly a year later, we celebrated the completion of the construction of that facility in an event with stakeholder partners, with investors, with customers, and also with family members present. Thinking more broadly, food is another highlight. And successful tasting days with customers is what really energizes me personally. I can recall our first meeting with a team from Marks & Spencer's in the UK, where the food really energized the room. And M&S have been leaders in the food category for many decades. And we still hope that they will be one of the first to use our ingredient launching products early next year. In terms of the biggest challenges we face within the alt protein sector, the biggest challenge that's common to all of us is the lack of infrastructure and scale. There's a range of reports from experts ranging from UBS to Boston Consultancy Group estimating the scale of future demand for non-animal protein. And at the very low end of that, the estimate is that within Europe alone, there's a demand for an additional 300,000 to 400,000 tons of protein every year. And put simply, this is a massive scale-up and supply chain challenge where currently there are very constrained supply options. So Enough's first facility is located in the Netherlands, and in the coming months we'll initially be producing about 5 cows worth of protein every hour, which, whilst a lot, is also negligible to address this vast market. And we plan to double this about every year, so by the time we get to 30 to 40 cows of protein per hour, this will still be negligible when it's compared to the 30 to 40,000 physical cows that are currently consumed every hour. And this means that our current plans will only account for a fraction of the forecasted increase in demand. And our challenge is therefore to balance how we add capacity at the right pace. The pace of increasing demand will be lumpy or spiky as brands and customers choose to use mycelium as an ingredient in the place of both plant options or animal options. And as we double our capacity in 23 and then again by 25 to reach roughly 40,000 tons, balancing the phasing of some fairly substantial capital investments and retaining the support from investors and banks whilst we in parallel develop the scale and momentum with customers will be, I think, our biggest challenge in the coming years. In terms of the next phase of our journey, I think we are really only at the very start of our journey. Our goal within Enough is to produce 1 million tons of protein within the next decade. And to achieve that will mean growing capacity in Europe to in excess of 100,000 tons per year, and also growing capacity in North America or in Asia or in the Gulf. To support that scale, we will rely on support from a very strong and supportive investor base, but we also need support and leadership from governments to ensure we're on a level playing field. Today, animal sources of protein benefit from a reported $200 billion of subsidies annually, and that equates to almost 50 cents a kilogram. And they also contribute to very significant levels of carbon emissions, but that's not factored into the cost on shelf. So as we look forwards towards the next phase of our journey, we want to account for an increasing proportion of the total protein plate, and we'd hope to do so by ensuring that any subsidies on offer are equally allocated. And we welcome support from governments to help underpin the transition in the protein landscape that has been referred to in events such as COP26. It's also massively exciting to see what's happening in the US with President Biden's executive order for biotechnology and biomanufacturing, and also to see Singapore's drive for 30 by 30. Fermentation really has the real potential to shift that balance away from animal proteins and support many of the goals to protect the climate. And although we will not rely on government intervention to support this, we're really pleased to see that food has a much bigger voice at COP27. To reach our goal of 1 million tons of production in the next decade, we need to continue to take the right steps over the coming months and years. And that really means remaining very focused in the short term and working closely with the customers who will be first to market. But as we look beyond that, we need continued collaboration to allow the sector to reach full scale. And in that context, we need support and advocacy of bodies such as the Alternative Protein Association, ProVeg, XPRIZE and GFI. Each of these bodies is moving the industry forwards to help us wean ourselves off our addiction to animal protein, which is literally costing the earth. So we're extremely excited by the recent advent of something called the Fungi Protein Association, where all of the companies working in fungi have come together to work pre-competitively and help clear some of the obstacles and make the protein transition both more just and more simple. So in terms of how people can get involved, if there's food companies listening who'd be interested in working with Enough, please do reach out directly. And if there's people listening who think this sounds like a business for them or a sector for them, then equally, we continue to grow and to continue to look for people who share our passion to make great tasting food and to make a small contribution to the protein transition.
I hope you enjoyed this episode made in partnership with Enough. If you did, there are hundreds more at foodmatterslive.com. And remember, if you enjoy the Food Matters Live podcast, you can subscribe via your preferred platform. And if you feel inclined, why not leave us a review? Thank you so much for listening.